This episode of Extra Features is sponsored by Starship Films. Some great titles such as Lars and the Emo Kid, Conjoined and the Dead of Night can all be found on Amazon Prime. Enjoy the show!
In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
An intern.
I'm Daniel.
Daniel? I don't know anybody named Daniel. Do you know anybody named Daniel? Who is this kid?
I don't know anybody named intern.
I know lots of people named intern. Who brought this kid here again? Gab, is this your lost love child?
You guys need to check your alarm system. I keep getting in.
Oh, man. Jeez. Intern, did you leave the door open?
Yeah, I must have.
Forgot to turn the security system on.
So what is it up to, Kev? Anything exciting?
Not much. Let's just point out that this is episode 189.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
It is, yeah.
I don't want to be
here. We're nearing in on 200.
I got to find a new place to hang out.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
Okay.
Where do you want to be?
I want to be on Star Wars, Tatooine.
They weren't in Tatooine.
But they're not on Tatooine.
Oh, wherever that salt planet was, Iberoth, or I don't know.
I have no idea.
Crate.
I just saw the movie. I didn't remember it, but memorized the planet.
I have something for that.
Mm-hmm. Salty Crate.
Kevin, you get in trouble on Facebook again, I hear?
I'm very controversial on Facebook.
Bitching about Star Wars, were you?
No, he liked it.
Well,
everybody else hated
it. All right,
it.
Let's start with our first movie, which is Star Wars The Last Jedi. Which may or may not be a polarizing film, depending on what you read. But it's directed by Rian Johnson and stars Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Domhnall Gleeson, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis, Kelly Marie Tran, and a whole bunch of other people. Laura Dern, Benicio Del Toro, Frank Oz. Oh, did I spoil something there? Let's just start and say, because this is Extra Features, we are going to spoil movies.
Everything. Every single film we talk about.
You even spoil movies that I haven't seen, but that's normal.
Well, that's right. You spoil movies I haven't seen, so it works out.
Okay.
Spoilers beware.
Can somebody spoil Bachelor Party 2 for me?
Yeah.
No.
Bob, why don't you tell us what you thought of Star Wars The Last Jedi first?
I actually liked it. Sorry. Might have been a bit long, but it was, like, I enjoyed the action. I enjoyed there was bits of comedy I enjoyed. Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker gets his lightsaber from,
Ren?
Ren. He looks at
Ray.
It, and then he throws it away. The theater I was in, like, half of them laughed.
It was funny.
I know it was, so I laughed too.
Yeah, it was
too.
Funny.
So there was enough comedy in there. There was action for me. I liked it all.
Wait, the way you stated that is, I laughed too. Like, you weren't laughing with the people, or you were laughing?
Yes, I was laughing with the people. I was with the people.
Were you out and about with your peeps?
No, they just happened to be there at the same time I was.
I wanted to know. I didn't get an invite, so I was just checking on that.
The intern is a man of the people.
He
you
is.
Know that.
He's like the king of Cineplex.
I just went there. I mean, like,
but they know you now. You're like the king of Kensington. We have the king of Cineplex in our thing.
Sure.
The king is now here.
Whatever you say.
King intern.
Whatever you say.
Now, did you use your scene card?
Yes, I did.
Did you get a discount on popcorn?
Yes, I did.
What kind of popcorn
did
you have?
Actually, I didn't know. Did I get a I don't remember if I got popcorn.
Did you get a drink?
But I did go to, where were we? Barry. I was in Barry seeing it. So we went to Special Light first, spent $70, and there was I got an email that said, if you spend over $30, you get 250 extra points, or was it 300 extra points if you spend 40? We spent 70. They gave us nothing. No 250 points. No actual points at all. So I sent in an email via Scene saying, where's my points? They even asked for a copy of the bill. So then after that, my friend and I went to see the movie after that. So I wasn't alone. Oh, okay.
Oh, so you did have a people there.
I did. Dave, Taylor, up in Barrie. We saw that.
What else did you think of the movie other than it was good and had action in it?
And comedy, don't forget
and
comedy.
And comedy.
Kevin will be talking for 40 minutes. You might want to actually get to your point.
Well, the point is I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the new little characters, those little, whatever they were.
Porgs.
Porgs.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Yep. But, oh, yeah, that was funny. The Chewbacca was trying to eat dinner, and it was a cooked porg, and he has one of the porgs look up at him, like, with sad eyes. Cool.
I think you should have eaten that porg, too.
I couldn't tell if the porg wanted to be a cannibal or not.
I think the porg was hungry. He just wanted them to feed him.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it was one of his brothers.
Maybe it was his sister.
Friend.
Maybe it was like his strange...
long-lost cousin?
Maybe it was his ex-wife and he's all happy.
Maybe it was his ex-girlfriend.
I mean, I need that explained. Daniel,
maybe,
Star Wars.
Maybe the porg killed his family and he's like, yes.
That evil porg.
I'm bad for killing this porg.
I didn't think it that way. I took it like it was... He didn't want him to eat it. Chewbacca.
I don't know.
I knew going in that a lot of people were disappointed by this one. And I'm not, like, the biggest Star Wars fan, so, like, I'm not a big sci-fi guy, so, I mean, I watched them all, but, yeah, so, like, I liked it enough, because I knew people were disappointed by it, so, I lowered my expectations a bit, and, I thought the whole thing was, like, Princess Leia doing that Mary Poppins thing with the Force.
Oh, you thought it was Mary, somebody else thought it was Mary Poppins, too.
Was Mary Poppins.
I was looking at it, I'm going, I don't see it, and then I said, oh, yeah, because she's going like this, and she's flying towards
Even though I didn't know the sequel Mary Poppins was already out.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah, it was called Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Look at me, I'm Mary Poppins, I'm using the Force.
And, like, I thought that whole subplot with, like, Finn and Rose, like, could have been taken out, but, like, I was still entertained by it.
What was the point of it?
Yeah, exactly, right? Because, like, it didn't assist the story in any way, you know?
Well, it sort of did. Like, they had, they both knew, she knew the planet, the bingo planet type thing.
The bingo planet.
Whatever.
Betting
planet, whatever.
He's the guy that goes to the casino and goes, hi, do you guys have bingo on tonight? To bring a blue-haired old lady to go in with you? You got confused?
Yeah, my mom comes in with me all the time.
To bingo.
Yes.
And you bring her out to the casino.
No.
Oh. Yeah, I liked it overall, though.
Thank you. So did I.
Yeah.
Did you like porgs?
Sorry?
You like porgs?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're just to sell toys, but they're cute.
Okay. Cute. What about Mary Poppins?
I thought it was funny when, like, the porg slammed against the glass. I was like, yeah.
What about Laura Dern doing that weird Cruella de Vil act on the...
Sorry?
Laura Dern doing Cruella de Vil?
Oh, yeah. Face Dern was not that great.
Yeah, I thought that was a little rough.
Yeah, the ones with the purple hair, too, you know. But.
And Admiral Akbar died off-screen.
Yeah.
That's super unceremonial.
So does that.
And nobody
cared.
Where was Nimnub?
Who?
He gone, I guess.
And what happened to...
Nimnub was there at the end.
And Megs Kanata did the guy from the casino. The guy with the cool lapel.
Justin Theroux?
Yeah. So Megs Kanata had sex with him at some point.
Freaky.
That was... She implies that.
She implies that she banged him. So, what's going on there? Right? Now, was that on bingo night at the casino that happened? Is that what Mads Kanata doing there, playing bingo?
Somebody got a triple bingo.
Oh, look! I-4!
It was probably dirty bingo, and she really... And he was like, okay, like, I'm into that.
I'm into that. Hey, I haven't seen one of those lately.
I'll take 069.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Jeez.
Oh,
I'm a 69. Oh, and Simon.
What did I think of Star Wars?
What did you think of this movie?
Well, no, and I knew it was bingo night. I have a whole new philosophy on it. I love the opening scene. Made me laugh so hard.
Go Flash.
Like, do you mind not taking selfies during the show? Because I'm trying to talk here. And I got bingo night boy beside me going click, click, click with your 14-year-old girl.
I was trying to flash you with the camera.
It wasn't working very well.
You're trying to flash him?
Yeah, he's trying to flash me. He's lifting up his shirt and doing the shake. I was getting nervous.
This is not Mardi Gras, Bob. Jeez.
Really?
I thought we established that you had to wear pants. Yeah.
I thought we did, yeah. I guess we didn't tell Bob.
I guess somebody missed the memo. There you go.
I got my pants on, so.
Yeah, perfect. So back to me, though. I thought the opening scene was great.
This is with Poe Dameron.
I thought that was very funny with Hop.
Yeah, that was.
That made me laugh really hard. I liked the bomber sequence. And that worked out well for me. And then I kind of sort of thought it stopped for a while. I was kind of like, okay. Yeah. And then we're going to go hang out with my childhood hero milking some kind of animal for milk.
That will go down as one of the greatest cinematic moments of all time.
I'm like, okay, I'm all set. He's going to get the force. He's going to do something. Nope, throws it over his shoulder and fucks off for the movie. Pardon?
Okay.
So I got to spend 45 minutes with Luke or an hour and a half with Luke doing nothing?
Mm-hmm.
But being an asshole? Great. That was really amazing. And then I got to spend 40 minutes with Finn doing nothing of interest for me? So the only character I like is Finn, and he gets a little bit of work to do. Then he has to hang out with some blue-haired bingo lady. Purple-haired bingo lady. So I thought I enjoyed parts of it. I just think it needed an edit. And Space Mary Poppins, I was like, what the hell? And yeah, I thought the porgs were hysterical. I did enjoy the porg scenes. When they're all when he's got like a nest hopping on the Millennium Falcon, they're flying around.
Mm-hmm.
And how come nobody's mentioned that amazing fight battle with Kylo Ren and Rey was amazing.
Yes, it was.
Even though they took out Snoke in 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, okay.
That was really well choreographed. Fight choreography, yeah.
So my only issue is, so Smoke was nobody?
Yeah.
Snoke, nobody?
Isn't there theories that he was a hologram and that he's still alive somewhere?
Yeah, okay, but he got a lightsaber put through him. He looked pretty dead cut in two sitting there during the fight.
Yeah,
I don't know, when Hux takes his hand off the DS, I thought that seemed pretty. His body parts were lying around.
Oh, that's true.
He looks pretty dead to me.
Do you guys like General Hux?
I love, he's horrifying, no?
I liked him in the first movie.
Yeah,
I love
Donald Pleasant,
but like, now they just have so much makeup on him, and he's just so moody.
Well, at least he has pants on. That's a good thing. He's not at bingo night.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he should go to bingo night.
I thought it was funny that when, Kylo Ren would say something like, oh, yeah, like, shoot at him, and he just repeat it, and then Kylo would just look at him like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
I just said that.
So, Kevin, I've been reading, and I have to agree that people are saying this is like a big F you to J.J. Abrams. Everything put in play, Rian Johnson just came out.
So
go ahead, rest.
Here's my review, all right? I loved Force Awakens, and this sequel was made by someone that obviously hated The Force Awakens, because he basically takes everything that was set up in The Force Awakens, like who are Rey's parents, who is Snoke, you know, what's going to happen with Luke. We have this great dramatic cliffhanger where Luke looks at Rey, and he's like, and you're like, oh my God, what's he going to say next? He's like, who are you? What are you hitting me my old lightsaber for? All that stuff. And then we come back to him, and he's like, I don't give a shit. Throws it over his shoulder, wanders off. This movie was like a giant F you to anybody that liked that other movie. I saw it twice, and the first time I thought, I guess that was okay. I don't know what I just saw. I'm not sure I liked it, but it was okay. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, this is the dumbest movie I have ever seen. And I've seen some really dumb movies. Thanks, Bob. But right up to the... All right, so the opening sequence.
Thanks, Bob.
Look at the opening sequence. I love Poe Dameron. I love the he's trolling Hux or Hugs and all that stuff. But he has to do a Yo Mama joke in a Star Wars movie. We see him skidding his X-Wing. In space. How do you skid a ship in space and do turns and stuff like that? It just didn't make sense to me. Those bomber ships that move at about, a mile every 20 years, they were moving so slowly. And let's conveniently put them side by side so that when one catches fire, they all catch fire. And they all blow up at the same time. They're designed to drop bombs in outer space. So that's a great idea if it's on a planet when there's gravity. I mean, I assume they've got magnets or whatever it is to drop them down. But it seems like a really strange design to have up and down as your primary motivation for anyway, I'm just nitpicking. But the movie to me is all about nitpicking. It just, there's you know, so Carrie gets blown into space, becomes Superman. And then she comes back to the ship, and the, instead of, when the door opens, instead of the atmosphere blowing out, it blows in, which makes no sense, which bothered me. Then he meets, you know, Captain Ballroom Gown, who's going to tell him that he's an idiot. So she, her first official act is to insult Poe Dameron and tell him he's not worth telling anything to. So that he's sitting around frustrated, waiting for something to do. And so he clutches at straws at the first plot, the first idea that someone throws at him, like Rose and Finn going off to rescue or find this codebreaker or whatever it is. So what do? They hop into a ship with light speed and fly off. Now, how many people on the Rebel ship could have been saved in that ship that flew light speed away from the mask? I know I'm losing you guys.
No, I'm totally with you. I like didn't think about that, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, the movie was basically Battlestar Galactica, where the ship, the Rebel fleet are fleeing from the Cylons, and the Cylons have forgotten that they possess faster than light drive, so they don't bother zipping ahead to destroy them. They'd rather just follow them for hours on end so that we can, like, it just, everything was designed to get them to Canto Bight and then have this waste of time plot so that we can show that the Rebels lose from time to time. And it was all about failure. And I understand he had some heavy ideas, but it seemed really stupid. And I'm not explaining this very well. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good. I'm totally with you.
I just think, you know, how many people could have been saved on that jump ship? And if they had other gym shits, why didn't they try to escape? And when Rose and Finn explain it to Poe, they explain to them that they're following one ship. They have three ships. Three main ships, right? Why wouldn't they break up and try to see which one gets followed and try to save some lives that way? Instead, they're going to... Okay. They've been to this stupid plan where they're going to hop into these little buses and slowly go down the planet in cloak ships that if anybody looks out their window, they're going to see them because they're clearly visible. And thankfully, Finn happened to tell Poe on a channel that was overheard by that other guy, Roger Rabbit. I think that was his name, right?
It was.
But, you know, like they're on the casino planet, and they happen to be thrown into jail with a guy who can break code.
Surprisingly. Just magically happens.
And he escapes one way, and they escape another, so that then we have to have the Save the Animals plot, and we have to meet the little kids who worship the Alliance. And then DJ and BB-8 just happen to steal a ship that belongs to a war profiteer. I mean, we've already been told that they're a planet of war profiteers, gambling away their winnings. But we have to find the ship that belongs to one of them so we can find out that the person has been selling to both sides. My little thing is I think that the fact it shows Poe Dameron's X-Wing is to indicate that the tracker that they were tracking through hyperspace was in fact Poe Dameron's the X-Wing fighter. That it was on there. But that's just me and my nitpicky Star Wars stuff. But I don't know. I just found a whole bunch of things really bothered me. And the fact that Luke cut himself off from the Force so that he could milk weird-looking alien cows and
milk.
Spear fish from 200 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed... And I'm going to not go with you because I don't want to die, but then I'm going to die anyway. So, but I'm going to do it by Skyping.
Oh, true.
You know, we got to learn about Force time, which is now, you know, if two minds are connected, they can they don't need Skype or anything like that. They could just automatically dial each other up.
I let that go. I thought that made sense to me.
The forced Skyping I thought was cool, yes.
I can see that happening.
How Snoke set that up, kind of thing?
How did Snoke join their minds?
I don't know. It's the Force.
Did he have, a cord for that or something?
I just saw Mary Poppins Leia. I didn't know that was possible either, so.
Snoke has never met Rey. He doesn't even know what she looks like. But he can connect their minds across galaxies.
But he can do cool lightning bolts. I've never seen anybody in the Jedi side do cool lightning bolts.
Yeah, he did.
Sure, he's Vader great with the Force.
Darth Vader didn't.
Except he's not a very good mind reader.
Hang on. Did Darth Vader use lightning bolts at the end of Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
Thank you.
When he was going loose and then... who else lived? Emperor did that too.
They're all dark.
To Samuel Jackson.
Darth is dark. They're all dark. I want a.
The lightning. Good. What are you talking about? Lightning bolts. Oh, the dark. Oh,
they're all dark guys. You're referring.
Well, you're talking about the good people.
Why can't they do lightning bolts? Well, he's Kevin saying how they do force tricks. I'm saying, well, maybe the dark side gets different parts.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Thanks.
I don't know. I'm wondering. I don't know.
Why don't you
I don't know. It just seemed pretty kind of silly. And if Snoke could sense Rey, why didn't he just send a ship to destroy Luke Skywalker? That's just who he wanted.
But Luke was cut off from the Force, so how could he find him?
Yeah, but he knew that Rey was with Luke.
Oh, good point.
Actually, no. He couldn't see where she was.
He said that.
He could see her, but he couldn't see where she around her.
But she says Ryan Johnson,
Luke is around him.
See what he thinks.
Where is Ryan Johnson? That's my question about the bingo night on the casino.
What's this bingo night thing? Did they actually play bingo?
No, Bob said he said something about bingo night. So I've just been going with the whole episode.
Of course, yeah.
Bob likes bingo.
Bob likes bingo with his mom, and that's fine.
Bingo's fun.
Mm-hmm. No. No.
That's not fun at all. I had lots of problems with this movie. I mean, Luke Skywalker, a character... we thought we knew.
Nope.
Who saw the good in his father, the guy who killed children and murdered galaxies and stuff like that. But he senses a little bit of dark side in his nephew, and he's going to kill him.
Oh, I'm going to kick your ass, though!
He considered it, but then he's like, no, okay.
Considered it. He has a lightsaber in front of my face. That's like saying some guy comes to my room, opens the door with a knife, thinking about killing me, and I'm not going to get upset about it.
Well, why would you want to get excited about it?
But, I mean, on top of it.
Well, I think I know this guy. It's not like some random stranger. It's like Uncle Bob comes in and opens the door and goes, "Hi, Simon's got a big steak knife. What am I supposed to assume? You're pondering about killing me? Or are you going to kill me?"
No, I'm saying, "Simon, look at the knife. I'm thinking of selling it." And then you have Crocodile Dundee coming in and saying, "That's not a knife.
I'm sleeping. You have a knife."
Right, so how do you know I'm going to kill you? You're sleeping.
You have your lightsaber fully extended, and you're not wearing pants. I'm very nervous.
You're asleep.
But you know
what?
He wakes up. He flashes his lightsaber, and he doesn't do it. He just destroys him. He doesn't say, "What the hell, Uncle Luke? What are you doing?"
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah. I would probably do the same thing.
I like the different perspectives, though. Like to fill the whole story, I thought that was cool.
Sure.
Is that fair?
I thought that was actually.
Yeah.
But what was Finn's job in this movie?
Sorry.
What was Finn's job?
Who's your Finn?
He fights Captain Phasma. I still didn't get that whole scene.
That's cool.
I think Ryan Johnson was stuck with Finn. I think he was like, "Man, could we just leave him in back to sleep all movie? Oh, you mean we got to pay this guy to be in the film? All right, what are we going to do? We got to send you something. Let's send him to a casino planet with another girl
Bingo
who
planet.
Explained to him
Bingo
to
kill planet. Him.
Send him away.
So we can revisit... we can revisit the Finn's a coward thing that we thought we'd gotten over. We can discuss slavery and animal cruelty, and we can get some more messages out there to our audience. I just thought, anyway, it was like something for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can agree with that.
So are we going to be happy? JJ's back for the next one. And then Ryan Johnson's doing three new ones.
Because I think that essentially this movie was The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi rolled into one.
I agree.
Right? So our two protagonists are light and are dark.
Oh my gosh.
They have met. They killed the Emperor already.
Yes.
They both stated their case and both have gone back to their respective corners of light and dark. I think basically this says Kylo Ren cannot be saved.
Correct.
He's a lost cause. And Rey is going to train the next generation of Jedi because she's stolen Luke's Jedi porn.
Yes.
And Yoda, drunken Yoda showed up to help him do it.
Oh, you have books. Nobody, them. They're not page turners.
I thought that was funny.
Destroy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, page turners, they are not.
Yes.
But obviously they were because he helped protect her sealing them.
He did.
So, so Yoda was deceptive. So, of course, Luke would find that out as soon as he enters into the Force. He'd be like, oh, shoot, you lied to me. Well, no, I told you a half-truth, Luke. That's what we do.
And it's bingo night, so you better get going.
Luke just seemed like a big knob in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And that bothered me. I mean, Luke should not be a giant knob.
I agree.
He's basically being led around like he's 20 years old again, like by Yoda and Obi-Wan.
Correct.
So now he's gone. Han is gone. Carrie died between films.
Yeah.
So we've got none of the original cast. Like, we better get Lando out of mothballs.
Well, I heard Lando doesn't look too good, so they don't want him.
No, he doesn't look too good.
He still got Anthony Daniels, though, right?
That's true.
Okay, but you could be a C-3PO forward, like I would care.
We have a new Chewbacca now. Peter Mayhew is Chewbacca advisor.
Yeah.
But we have a new actor as Chewbacca. We have a new R2-D2.
Peter,
did the old Chewbacca die?
No.
No,
he's just riddled with pain.
Here's how the new Chewbacca works. Peter, we know you need the money. You can be a Chewbacca advisory. Because, you know, it's so hard to tell us what Chewbacca does. Oh, boy.
I could grow my beard and be Chewbacca.
You're already halfway there. You're good to go. Terrible.
Chewbacca advisory.
He needs the cash.
Mm-hmm. I've never tried a Chewbacca impression.
I think Chewbacca should go to bingo night and win some money.
So Kylo is in charge of the First Order now. There's no rebels. Like, there's like 10 people on a ship.
No, they have them outskirts. They said that. There's lots of them, Leia said.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them showed up.
Nobody answered the call. Nobody cared.
It's bingo night. Bob established that, the intern, earlier on. They're all at bingo.
They left them on red. They saw it, but it's like,
No, we're at bingo night. She knows better.
They're like, oh my god, not Leia again. She's always calling us about
something. Why is she calling us again? She lose her tooth or something this time?
Like, Leia, like the last time we helped you, you blew up, like, the whole planet blew up.
No, Leia, we don't want to watch Mary Poppins again tonight, okay? We're good.
Now it's just a formality. Now we have to come back, and we have to give them enough time to get their acts together. So that we can see them face off one more time. And one of the, you know, obviously Kylo has to be destroyed.
Yes.
And with the death of Kylo ends the Skywalker saga.
Correct.
Correct.
So that's essentially what, but there's no mystery involved anymore. There's no drama.
What?
It's just straightforward confrontation.
Kylo's the only one left of the Skywalkers.
Oh, the Skywalkers.
Leia's dead. Luke's dead. Because Leia's dying on crawl next episode.
Well, I'm sure they'll cut back and they'll say, in the intervening time, Leia passed away.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll start off with her funeral or something like that. And now Poe Dameron leads the resistance.
And maybe Admiral Ackbar will get a little scroll at the bottom. And so did Admiral Ackbar.
Who was the funny
guy? It was a trap.
Short thing.
Maz Kanata?
Yeah, sure, him.
Her?
Him. No, not her. There was another guy on the ship.
Oh, he's dead, too.
Okay. He died on the ship.
He was
at the
Bingo Night, too. He's all dead. All right.
Okay.
I really like that Billy Lord
woman with the glasses.
Yep.
Eyes.
Well, she'll have a big part in the next one, I'm sure.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I liked her.
Right?
I noticed all of the J.J. Abrams regulars were missing.
Yep.
So I'm sure they were all off planet, and they'll come back for the third.
No, Greg Grunberg trying to fit into a suit again. Oh my god, the guy's got to stop eating.
Snap Wexley.
Oh my god, he's getting big.
Right.
So I don't know. To me, there's no mystery anymore. We've done the Return of the Jedi. We've got our Empire ending. Luke has gone Obi-Wan on us. You know, I'm sure he'll come back. So the only way I hope the third movie is basically Luke Skywalker's ghost is trolling Kylo Ren. You know, I told you if you killed me, I would come back and haunt you. So here I am to haunt you.
Bitch, I'm back.
Yep.
You saw the last of me.
Either that, or we're going to learn that all the people who enter the Force as ghosts can come back if they feel like it.
Yeah.
Because Yoda was a lot more physical in this one than I would have expected a Force.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I thought he looked weird to me with all like the new technology, and they kept the same animatronic or whatever.
Well, they, you know, in their quest to be brilliant, they decided to bring him back as a puppet instead of as a 3D character.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of jarring with all the new technology. It just didn't mesh for me very well.
I mean, my favorite review of the film was George Lucas. I thought the film was beautifully crafted.
Period?
That's it. Nothing else to say. That was beautifully crafted. That's a big F you to Kathleen Kennedy, I think.
Wow. Okay. You know. Are we moving along now? We spent half an hour.
So we talked about that for a while. Anyway.
But Kevin talked about Thor Ragnarok longer.
Star Wars. See that? Episode 189. Star Wars. Star Wars.
Yes. All right. So what's our next movie?
Dunkirk.
Oh, wow.
Christopher Nolan directed it.
Has it got Spock and McCoy in it as well?
It does.
It does, yeah.
It's got Finn Whitehead, Mark Rylance, and Tom Hardy.
Don't forget the Jonas Brothers. Mm-hmm.
No, it's one of the Jonas Brothers. The other guy.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Horan or something?
The One Direction people.
One Direction
Liam.
Guy. Liam Gallagher.
No, not him.
Kenneth Branagh's in it.
Yeah, it's Kenneth Branagh's in it. I can't remember. Killian Murphy's in it.
Can't remember that one kid's name from The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I haven't seen it yet. The Yorgos Lanthimos film, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I'll get to it. It hasn't appeared on any top 10 list.
Did you already do Murder on the Orient Express?
I have seen Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, yeah. I have to see that stuff.
I'd like to see that one.
I haven't
seen the original. If someone could put that in a Dropbox, that would be awesome.
Yeah, but I'll get the intern on it.
What?
Thanks, intern.
What? Well,
so, okay, let's go back to Dunkirk. I saw it in IMAX opening night.
Oh, good for you.
I saw it in 2D, and then I saw it in 70mm when I went to Montreal.
I saw it in regular something around there, whatever it is.
I saw it on my TV last night.
So, Cap, what do you think? You can go first.
I thought it was... there's no real plot to it. Just we're getting, essentially, the English soldiers are trapped on a beach in Dunkirk, France, and they've got to get off the beach.
Correct.
And Churchill wants, 30,000 to 40,000 of them rescued of the 400,000. The rest he's willing to take as a loss. And so they've summoned all of the ships at the English ports nearby to come over across the channel to help save the troops because the German planes are sinking all of the army ships. So I'm certain they would sink all the little English boats as well, but we've got Tom Hardy and a couple of Spitfire pilots protecting them. And so that's basically – 2 hours of trying to survive, trying to get off this beach, trying to defeat the Germans. It's beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's very realistic.
Cinematography was good.
Yeah, great cinematography.
I think amazing sound.
Yes.
If this doesn't win Oscar.
Like, I didn't want to see it in IMAX because I thought like the trailers for it were way too loud. But... Yeah, so it's not in 70mm.
I don't think I've ever heard my hearing. I don't think I've ever recovered from the sound in the IMAX.
Right.
It kind of reminded me of taking the opening of Saving Private Ryan and making it into the movie.
Correct.
Yeah. Taking that 20 minutes and stretching it into a two-hour experience. What would it be like if you were that one kid that is escaping and encounters all this stuff? And I thought the Spitfire stuff was fantastic with Tom Hardy.
I agree.
I think my favorite part about it was like how it's told from like the land on the beach, and then from the sea with Mark Rylance and his son, and then from the sky with Tom Hardy, like with all those dogfights and stuff. Like, that was just awesome. Like the point of the perspectives.
I have to agree with you.
So do I.
So from my opinion of the film is that it was good as an experience, but not great as a movie.
Correct.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that would be...
That's why I didn't like Gravity.
Yeah, Gravity's kind of like that.
Yeah, but I love this one for some reason, I don't know. Because, with the characters, they weren't well developed, but, I thought it was understandable just because they're supposed to be real people kind of thing. But it doesn't make for a great film, I guess, in that way. But it was still, very human. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, there were very, very few characters that I liked or even one. A lot of them just seemed very generic.
They are. I don't think the film's set up to care about characters. I think it's all look and feel in this film.
I thought Rylance was, decently developed, though. I thought he was the only one that was,
Well, he spent a lot of time with him. I didn't like the Cillian Murphy character. I thought was silly.
Rylance, and I think that Branagh brings a lot of presence with him.
He's very commanding. He does a very good job.
But I don't know if I think this is one of the best movies of the year. I think it's an okay experience.
I'd be curious to see, the other side of the story in Darkest Hour with, from Church.
I saw that movie.
I've seen Darkest Hour, too.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Well, you'll like it. Maybe.
We'll get into that at a later date.
What did you guys think? What did Bob think of
Dunkirk, Bob?
Dunkirk? Well, I'm agreeing with you on the cinematography and the perspectives in the air, sea, and land, but I found it ran a bit too long, so I was sort of... I was going to, get this over with, because I liked it as a I don't know if I liked it as a whole, but I liked parts of it. As you said, the cinematography, as you said, on land, but I thought, it dragged in parts, I thought. But, I don't know where... It will be in the top 10, mine, somewhere, but not... It depends on a few other movies.
Number 9 or 10.
It's getting to be there, yeah.
Okay.
There's a few other movies that I've liked better, so.
Yeah, I think it would be 5 or 6 for me, because I really, really liked it.
I have a question. I think guys are missing the point of this. It was all tension building to me.
Yeah.
I've never seen air scenes that good in my life.
Oh.
Having those dog fights blew me away, how good they were filmed.
Yeah, but there was dog fights, and then there was, and then after the dog fights, dragged.
Oh, no, those ship battles of the guys in the ship, and they're just getting blown up everywhere, and then they're in the ship on the beach, and they're going to fly off, and the Germans are taking pop shots at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think the guy finally escaped, and he gets blown up again. It just blew me away, this film.
Me too. I loved it, especially when, Tom Hardy was soaring over the beach, and then he just sacrificed himself to not crash into them and then to be captured kind of thing. That's so human.
I just thought this film was amazing. I don't care about the story. I wasn't looking for a story. I was looking to be blown away visually, sound-wise, and it did everything I wanted to do.
Too, though. You have to have a story.
It didn't have a story. Finn Whitehead's trying to escape.
Right.
There's your story.
Okay.
And you just follow him trying to escape. He got a beer at the end.
You got a what?
He got a beer in the train with his buddy.
Got a beer at the end,
Did he go to bingo night after that?
I don't know. You were at bingo night. Did you see Finn Whitehead?
No.
Finn, he wasn't there.
Okay.
He saw the blue-haired old lady, though.
He got blown up after that. The blue-haired lady? My mom wasn't there that night. She hasn't colored her hair yet.
Oh, the blue-haired lady is there somewhere.
Mm.
I saw this one twice, though, so, I thought it was, immersive enough to be, really, really good. So I didn't mind there wasn't a story kind of thing.
I think, Kev, you saw it in a bad part. I think you really had to see this at the cinema to get the
full effect. If I had gone to see it in an IMAX theater, probably would have been immersed into it.
I think you could have gotten to my house and watched it in my 75.
Well, here on my 46, it just didn't do it for me.
No, it's not big enough.
I could see where you're coming from with that, just because, I felt if I watched this at home, I might be a bit bored.
Only away.
Yeah, I was bored.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw it bigger than your 75. I saw it at the theater.
I saw it in IMAX.
Okay.
Bigger than the North Theater. With popcorn and a drink.
Hey.
And a drink?
And not bingo night.
Did you get
Bob, remember to keep your pants on. Yeah. There's no measuring here.
Okay. I was really glad to see it in Montreal, though. Like, the 70mm was, like, really, really great.
Are we moving along now?
Big screen, right?
All right. Well, and so did everyone give their opinion? I guess everyone did.
Yes,
everyone did.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah.
What's next on our list?
Ladybird.
Ladybird.
Is this where I duck out now?
Yeah, bye.
Well, you didn't see three billboards?
Okay, I'll see you guys later.
Goodbye, right. Dad.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you next year.
So, Sarai Rosen, Lori Metcalf, Tracy Letts, Lukey Hedges, Timothy Chalamet, and Beanie Feldstein. And Lois Smith.
This is Lady Bird?
Yes.
And what's her name from, what's the main actress's name again?
Saoirse Ronan.
She was in that movie where she was like a super assassin, right?
Yes, Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah.
And Atonement.
So, I think I like this movie. I just watched it this morning, literally. It reminded me of that movie. What was that movie with Bill Murray and the kid in high school?
Vincent.
Rushmore.
To me, it starts off very Rushmore.
It does.
With a kid and an academy, and it's a Catholic school, and they're trying to rebel a bit. And I don't know. I mean, but I liked the character. I liked her. I mean, some of the stuff I didn't believe a kid would say or do. It seems kind of forced, but I did enjoy this a lot, and I enjoyed the performances. I liked the father, and Molly Shannon was great as her mother.
Lori Metcalf.
Oh, is it Lori Metcalf?
It is.
I don't know why I thought it was Molly Shannon.
No.
They sort of
they look alike.
A little bit. One can act, one has some issues.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it's a coming-of-age story. She's kind of weird and calls herself Lady Bird, and she grows up by the end of the movie.
She does.
And so, you know, and some things she takes for granted, she has those things blown away. I don't know. It's about growing up.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think you're missing. I love this film. Absolutely loved it. That was delightful to watch. I thought the characters played every piece. I love Lori Metcalf. Made me laugh so many times.
Yeah.
And I loved her friend in high school that she kind of abandoned. I loved the play teacher, the football coach.
That took over.
Oh, my God, I was crying so hard. No, I got to run this like a play. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought the Lucas Hedges character being gay was fine with me. I had no issues with that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the sex scene was fine. Like, everything worked for me in this film. I really enjoyed it. I thought I liked the storyline. I liked the character.
We talked about Dunkirk being in our top 10. I would more likely put this in my top 10 than I would Dunkirk.
This is 100% in my top 10. 100% will be in my top 10.
Because I think this as a narrative and as acting, general performances and the way I feel at the end of the film, I felt like I got my fill of Lady Bird. And it's only 93 minutes, so...
It's quick, but it needs to be quick, because there's nothing really depth. They're just telling her story.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I know some of these kids, and they didn't really tell you when it was set, but it was set around... 9/11, right? So
yes.
This would have been around 2000, 2001.
Correct.
So I thought that was interesting. And really, because I don't have a lot to say about Greta Gerwig in general. I'm not a big fan of her acting or her movies in the past. But I thought this was a good one.
I have to agree with you 100%. I love the film. I love Tracy Letts. I wish he had a little bit more to do, but I think that would have screwed up the story if he did. I like the scene when him and his son are going for the same job.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he fixes the tie in his son and he gets the job.
Yeah.
I thought that worked out well. I mean, everything worked for me in this film. I was quite surprised how much I enjoyed it.
Bob, did you see it?
I did. I have to agree.
And what did you think?
What? Oh, I have to agree with everything both of you said up to a point. Hang on. I agree with you on the acting. Like, the actors were there, and the directing was well done. There was cinematography was well done. The only issue I had with it, like, was at the very end, it just sort of stopped. And I'm going, there could have been a little bit more. The people in the theater with me, like, I saw this alone, but there was people in the theater with me that I didn't know. They were disappointed with the ending too. They thought, well, that's it. Isn't there any more? Like, there could have been a little bit more in the last scene.
No.
Okay, that's your opinion, but I
can tell you why.
Why?
My argument is.
But I had other people agreeing with me on that.
Well, they're wrong too, so that's fine. The film normally would have ended. I think Kevin.
Okay, you're right. Just go on with the next one.
Oh, I want to get into this.
No, you don't have to.
This is a good point.
I think it works because she comes of age then. Because before she goes on the plane, she's still Lady Bird.
Yes.
After she has that experience of drinking too much alcohol and surviving, and waking up, she calls her mother, goes, hi, it's Christine.
Yeah, and then she says, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So and then she starts driving it, but there's nothing from the other side. Like her parent, there was no reaction from that. That's what I wanted. I wanted the reaction.
You want Laurie Metcalf's
reaction to that.
How did you know her reaction?
Well, I don't. I wanted to see that reaction. That's what I was missing.
When I was watching the film, I thought the film could have ended when she got on the plane.
I thought it was going to end there.
I thought that was it.
Well, maybe that's why I'm happy with that.
And then we see her in New York, and she meets that guy, and she introduces herself as Christine, not as Lady Bird. So she's starting to grow up.
Right.
But it's after she has the experience of drinking too much.
Okay.
Going to the hospital and having her life, like, she wasn't, there was nothing really wrong with her, but she had this experience. And then she came home and she said, you know what? It's time for me to accept that there are two things that I love. One is to my mother, who I disagreed with strongly throughout the film, and I kind of treated like shit. But I miss her, and I'm going to talk to her. And the other thing is that she loves Sacramento, and she denied it. And even when the nun says to her, well, it's clear you love Sacramento, she's like, no, I just know it. I don't love it.
Yeah.
But when she talks about driving for the first time, and that's what she relays to her mother, well, you know, when I learned to drive, I learned, and all of a sudden I had a love for Sacramento. And I understand why you love it so much.
Okay.
And I think that connected her with her mother in a sense, right? So she grew up and she was able to be empathic.
Okay.
Which is something she was never able to be throughout the other, when Lady Bird was the star.
Okay, I got that
idea. So even when she knew her friend was being treated like crap, and she didn't make amends with her friend, but, okay, sorry.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, okay, Simon said the people I was with, their opinion's wrong. My opinion's wrong. It's my opinion. I'm allowed to have that opinion. Whether wrong or it's my opinion.
You're absolutely correct.
Thank you. I'm not wrong. I'm not right. It's subjective. It's how I felt.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Right.
So am I wrong or am I right? Or am
I half right? In my opinion,
no.
You're wrong.
Well, that's
in your opinion, you're right.
No, so, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that that's how I felt. It's a feeling I got from the movie.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
You can have that feeling.
Okay.
I have to disagree with that feeling.
Fine.
That's all.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they were at bingo night, but you think they are. That's okay.
I think it was a nice epilogue.
Yes.
But I just wanted, I just wanted a little bit more of a reaction from her parents. That's what I'm, that's it.
I think Laurie Metcalf would have picked up the phone and said thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the movie as a whole. We'll say that.
So did I.
Right. It's just I wanted a bit, tiny bit more.
Okay.
So did other people in the audience that I was with. Dave H. agreed with you, though. He says, but life isn't like that. It just ends. I said, it just ends. He says, yeah, life's like that.
Oh, yeah, that's the way I feel.
Well, you're agreeing with Dave Age. Oh, I'm worried now.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Right, next movie on our list is Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Right.
And that's directed by Martin McDonagh,
mm-hmm.
who also wrote it. And it stars Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, Abby Cornish, Zelko Avinek, Peter Dinklage, and some other people. Essentially, a modern noir. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We basically got we learned that Frances McDormand, who starts at the film, she's driving by these dilapidated billboards, and she goes in and rents them for a month. And she has messages put on it, which we learn are inflammatory to the local town police force, or Ebbing, Missouri police force. And we learn along the way that her daughter was raped and murdered months ago, and nothing has happened. And
set a fire, too.
What's that?
And set a fire, because there's a spot, like, just below one of the billboards. It's like just the shape of her body. She was put on fire. The daughter.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Her daughter was burned there.
Yeah.
Simon, did you catch that?
That she was burned at the billboards? No.
They said that in the movie.
Well, I believe you.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Oh, okay. I missed that completely.
Yeah.
Anyway, Woody Harrelson is the police chief. And he's empathetic to Francis's position, but he's tried everything that he can, and he's not been successful. And on top of that, he has cancer, and he's dying. And so the other members of the police force are kind of idiots. Like Sam Rockwell really plays this idiot police officer who's incendiary, picks fights. He's in the past we learned he's beaten up on suspects. He's done all sorts of crazy things, and he's not very well respected as a result. But for some reason, Woody keeps him around. Anyone?
Oh, I'm good to go. Yeah, I thought this was 3 9/4 Gorder, a good movie, an excellent movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big problem with the ending, huge problem.
Yeah.
What's the point of that ending?
There's no resolution, no.
And that kind of annoyed me, because there's no resolution for the Frances McDormand character ever.
She's going off to kill the guy.
She seems to be able to do whatever she wants, and nobody does anything to her.
She and the cop are going off to kill him.
I got that. Yeah. They don't know if that's the guy either.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Maybe.
I mean, she goes around the school, kicks the crap out of a bunch of kids. Nothing happens to her. She burns down a police station.
Yep.
Nothing happens
to her.
Didn't
she stab one of the characters in the eye or something?
But I mean, she does all this stuff. Nothing happens.
Right.
Woody Harrelson dies.
Yeah.
Okay. His wife comes and gives her a letter.
Yeah.
Okay, that was about the only interesting thing that happened in that period.
Okay.
What's the point of this in the end? I sat through this. I don't get the ending. What? You didn't get Lady Bird? Explain to me this one.
She wants revenge for...
Okay, what's my result?
The daughter.
You wanted more film, and so did I. What's the result for this one?
There isn't one yet. Maybe there, like, I, okay, that end, that...
I didn't get a phone call saying, hi, it's Christine. I might have gotten it at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Well?
What?
How did this win? Like, I don't know. The end.
I don't get the end either, but all I know is it wasn't really resolved, like you said, because all they say is they drive off and they say, oh, we're going to kill him. I'm going, huh?
I mean.
But as a whole, I think both of you said this is really good. I saw this in September at the Film Fest.
So you've had plenty of time to give me an answer.
I have, but I sort of didn't think about it. But I enjoyed this so much. It's in my top five.
I don't know if I can put it in. It's the ending.
I only put it in the top five because it's powerful performances by like Francis and other people, and
Francis is excellent.
Yes, I had to put it in the top.
Sam Rockwell's excellent. Yes, I can never say his name. The Zed guy, the guy that plays the older police guy. He's got a weird Polish name. I can never say.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like the Black New Chief. I like everything about this Black movie, Chief. except for the last
scene.
2 minutes.
That's your opinion. It's wrong.
But explain to me why it's wrong.
I can't.
So you have no opinion then.
I have an opinion. It's
what, Bingo Night? I should go there?
No. You're assuming because you heard them say it that they're going off to confront this guy. That's.
But we don't know if that's the guy.
We don't know, but there's evidence that the police guy got that says it is him. I heard that.
That was in the bar. I heard that scene. Yes. I need that scene.
You need that
scene. I don't have resolve here.
Watch it again. I listened to that scene, and I thought, oh, okay, he's got evidence that supports that issue.
He does, but right. We still don't know.
We don't.
And that's
sure. No. But his boss says we tested the DNA, and he has an alibi.
That's so right. The guy wasn't in the country. Match. The guy was not in the country.
That was another guy. There was a guy with him that they were talking about, because he was overhearing a conversation between this guy that he beat up and two other people. But there was a guy that wasn't in the bar. He was like out of town.
Okay.
No. The guy that he overheard talking to is the same guy that went into the gift shop and said, how much is this thing? And she said, $7.
Yeah.
And he says, threw it at her and said, well, there's your $7. Is it worth $7 now? So we knew that he had something was wrong with this guy, and he was somehow connected to this. So when he shows up and he starts talking to his buddy about how they tortured and raped a girl and other guys had a go at her and all that stuff, Sam Rockwell's like, this is it. This is the guy. This is exactly what Woody Harrelson predicted when he was talking. He said, at some point down the line, someone will overhear somebody saying something, and that will bring up a new lead in the case. But right now, there's absolutely nothing we can do.
Yeah. Okay.
So a new lead opens up, and according to the new chief, he has an alibi. To me, it sounded almost like his superior officers were covering for him.
Yeah. I agree.
To say that he was out of the country at that time. I think there was a good chance that he was the guy. Frances needed resolution for the death of her daughter. And Sam Rockwell had no purpose. He needed something basically he was a loser who lived with his mother.
Yeah.
He was no longer a police officer, but Woody did say you had the makings of being a good detective.
Yeah.
I think if you applied yourself, you might be. So this is him trying to apply himself, but he failed.
Yeah.
Right, according to the new chief. He doesn't get his job back. Turns in his badge. He has no purpose. Huh. So he's like, well, if you want to get revenge, I'm happy to help you.
Right.
But I think it is an unsatisfying
because, like, that's what Simon's looking for. She wanted revenge. Maybe that's not what you're looking for.
I look at this movie as a series of vignettes between people who live in a small town that are connected to this case. Like, what was the point of the Peter Dinklage character?
Exactly. None. Other than an alibi for her, for the police station.
Right. And her ex-husband and his 19-year-old girlfriend and all the stuff with her and the son and the problems at school. This is all just dressing.
I agree. Dressing.
It reminded me of movies like Last Picture Show or like a Steinbeck novel.
Correct.
You know, like here's a little bit of vignette thrown in with a noir situation of a murder and who did this, but there's never really a whole lot of discussion of the murder case itself or what happened there. We just knew it was awful but Frances is like Superwoman. She can do whatever she wants. She sets fires to police stations. She beats up children. She does all these things, but nobody cares. And it's like, they're like, oh, well, she's upset. She's grieving your loss of your child.
Didn't she push the guy out a window of the doctor's office or something?
No, she stabs.
Oh,
the dentist.
It was the guy in the newspaper office. She pushes him out the window.
No, that's Sam Rockwell. Who throws the advertising.
Oh, he does that. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, and that's why he loses his job.
Oh.
Right, so... But yeah, I mean, they're not stable, but apparently they're just feisty people in Ebbing, Missouri, and they can do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. This movie wanted to be Fargo so badly.
It does.
I think. And having Frances just there, Frances McDormand just kind of cements that. But, I mean, would I put this in the top 10 movies of the year? I don't think so. It's okay.
I agree. I don't think it's going to make mine either. Bob told me it would be my film of the year.
I kind of wrote down my top 12. And it's not definitely not there.
Goes to the Oscars.
I'm not. I won't vote for it.
You don't have to.
I will one day.
You will one day?
Yeah, we'll see. Sam Rockwell was great, I thought. Woody Harrelson was really good, too.
So did I.
Well, it'll be another one of my mistakes during the Oscar thing.
I hope my 7-year-old whoops your ass again this year.
I know she will.
Abby Cornish is a very pretty woman.
She is. I agree. All right.
So we got two kind of maybes and one definite as far as seeing this one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next movie on the list is The Lost City of Z, directed and written by James Gray. Adapted from a book by David Gran. Stars Charlie Hunnam, Robert Pattinson, Sienna Miller, the Emperor Ian McDiarmid, and Spider-Man Tom Holland. This one's a very colonial. Essentially, Charlie Hunnam is an explorer, and he's sent to... How are we doing for time?
It's your last movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was okay. It's very colonial. I didn't like the ending of it at all. It's very vague.
Well, I think the problem is there is no ending to the film. They don't know what happened to him.
Right.
He just sort of disappears.
Right. We see them meeting up with the Indians, and then that's basically it. What's wrong?
No, Bob's asking about how do you tell the time, and I said you can't. You just got to write it down when you start.
Basically, all I see is you guys on screen, and you're both going, blah, 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 like something's wrong, like you're looking at
no,
me.
No, everything's
like,
good. He's just asking about the time check, and I'm like, it's
To me, this was like an Edgar Wright Bryce Burroughs book, in a sense of this guy is exploring, he's, you know, what was it, Heart of Darkness?
Correct.
Going down the river. What are they finding? You know, they
did you
cannibals.
Like this film at all?
What's that?
It put me to sleep. I found it really slow and boring.
It was, yeah.
I couldn't get into it. I just had no interest in this film at all.
I found every time I started to get interesting, he was back in England.
Yes, I liked the stuff back in England just fine. But everything else put me to sleep on that boat.
I'm not a huge fan of Charlie Hunnam anyway as an actor.
Neither am I.
He's like a, I don't know what he is. He's almost like a cartoon.
Correct.
And he certainly not had a good year with King Arthur as well.
Oh.
I can't wait to put that on my last, but one of the worst of the year list.
I'll probably make mine. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't even recommend this film. I hated it so much.
No, and I heard good things about it, too, which
not
is why
for me.
I'm so disappointed.
I trashed it completely. Okay.
So is that it for today? We're gonna
That's
do
all
more?
The time we got for today, man. We only have an hour.
Did you buy anything?
I bought nothing. Go ahead, Bob.
That Beauty and the Beast live action DVD Blu-ray.
For his non-existent Blu-ray player?
You can play Blu-rays on a DVD player.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Since when?
It doesn't work that way.
It's DVDs that you can't play on a Blu-ray player.
You can play DVDs on a Blu-ray player. Blu-ray players are backward compatible. You can't, like, a DVD is older technology.
Well, then I guess I'll have to buy a Blu-ray player.
They cost like $80.
Portable?
No.
Yeah, no, for just the regular one.
There's not a portable
Blu-ray. A portable one probably costs you a couple hundred.
I've never seen a portable Blu-ray.
They exist.
I haven't seen one. I have regular DVD ones.
Just go to Best Buy. I'm sure you can find one.
There you go. Drop your computer off while you're there.
Just go to bestbuy.ca and look for the models and see what they have and what stores have it.
What did you buy, Kevin?
Well, I bought Dunkirk. And I bought The Big Sick. And I bought... what else did I buy? I bought Lost City of Z. That was a bit of a waste. and I bought the Doctor Who Christmas special. And I think that's it.
Are we reviewing the Doctor Who Christmas special? I don't know about.
If you want,
I will do that. I will make an effort to watch it.
Does buying a Christmas present count?
Won't mean anything to me. Pardon, Bob?
Does buying a Christmas present, a DVD for a Christmas present for somebody else count?
Sure.
Okay. Season 4 of Murdoch Mysteries for my mom.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch it?
Which she'll probably never watch because she watches this current season. Looks like I might be watching it. And then I was told by like three nieces, you should watch Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is excellent.
Don't watch that with your mother.
Yeah, you skip your mom on Game of Thrones. Drop her off at Bingo.
Well, she said I could rent it from the library.
You can?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think since the last time we talked, I also bought Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Which we still have never reviewed.
I saw it.
I thought we did review it.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I keep the notes. Keep telling you about it. Okay, I'm done.
We could have reviewed that tonight.
You're done? Nice to meet you, done.
I'm done. I'm Simon.
All right, have a good trip.
Okay.
I'm Kevin.
We're interns still.
And if they make it?
Simon forces us to watch it?
We've done that one. Don't you know when Simon will be watching it in Pudacana?
Simon will be watching in Pudacana, and then he'll give it to me, and then he'll force me to watch it.